Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Sean Breeden. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program so far this week, Sean's been with us Monday and Tuesday sharing his story. Sean is a brother here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's married to a wonderful woman named Lexi. They have three children. He's a banker and a pretty darn good one. But he also is a brother who is, his faith has been rekindled and he's been learning some things that I thought would be really great if he could come and just share with all of us. So welcome back, Sean.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. So at the end of yesterday's program, we started talking about going to this Encounter School of Ministry in at St. Pat's Parish in Brighton, Michigan. And that's been a decisive kind of moment and turn for you as well. So let's talk about that.
Sure. So for me, again, I was sort of coming into it in this mentality of cruise control. You know, I wasn't experiencing a lot of fruit in my prayer life or consistency in my prayer life for that matter. And God really intervened in a powerful way. So one way that it happened was the musician for the Encounter School, her name is Teresa, she prayed over me at the end of one of the sessions. And she said, one of the things that she said was that you have the grace, the anointing of St. Peter to jump out of the boat, at the first sight of Jesus. And when she said that, it instantly healed some of those remaining OCD tendencies that I had. So to give you an idea, if I'm in a conversation with someone in the past—
So is this something you battled? I know you mentioned the
first, it's Monday, been, maybe today's
listeners don't know, but this has been a battle all your life.
Yeah, so all throughout.
So not everybody knows maybe who's.
Yeah, I mean, obsessive compulsive disorder. And really, my brand of it is probably more something that's called obsessive compulsive personality disorder. So I don't have a lot of those repetitive sort of compulsions. It's really just mental, you know, things and a lot of list making. But a big one was in conversation with people. If I'm going to say something and then I forget what I'm going to say, I can't just let it go in the past. I pore over it for 30 minutes. What was I going to say? Maybe it was really important. And what if something bad happens as a result of me not remembering this? And sometimes that being in the back of my mind for days really just took me out of the present moment, made me just less present to my family, less productive at work.
It was kind of a preoccupation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. A big preoccupation. Yeah. But when Teresa said those words, mm-hmm. You have a grace to jump out of the boat instantly at the sight of Jesus. That was healed.
Wow.
That no longer is something in my life.
You haven't experienced it since at all.
No.
That's great. I mean,
there might be a moment, just like a normal person of like,
sure.
What was I going to say?
Yeah.
And I think it was probably this. And then you move on, right?
Describe a little bit more about, you know, she said, Peter in the boat, the jump out of the boat experience. Like,
right.
What did that mean specific? What's the story about? And then what did that mean for you in the moment?
Yeah, so there's a moment, as I recall, I believe it's after the death of Jesus, and the apostles are in a boat. They sort of go back to their old lives in a certain way. You know, they sort of go back to what's familiar to them, where they're fishing. And then, you know, they see Jesus on the shore, and I believe it's the story where he says, oh, you're not catching fish, throw it on the right side of the boat, which he had said to them, you know, when he first met them. And then they bring in this big catch of fish, and all of a sudden, the moment that Peter knows that it's Jesus, he knows that is Jesus on the shore, he jumps out of the boat and swims to the shore. Right? The rest of the apostles sort of are, you know, in a certain way more prudent, you know, more controlled. Let's bring the boat back to shore. But Peter says, no, like, if that's Jesus, I want him now. I need to be with him now. And that's the grace that I experienced. And when she said those words, I just started crying because I knew somehow that was true, that I'd been given this grace to once I see Jesus on the shore, to just jump out, just to cast whatever other cares are going on and just say, no, Jesus, you're faithful. Whatever it is that I think I forgot that's important, you're the God of my life. You have a plan for my life. And you're going to bring good from it, even if maybe it was something important, but you're going to bring good from it because I love you and I trust you and you're faithful.
And something was awakened in you again in a certain way that you're talking about being on automatic pilot or cruise control. Mm-hmm. And then in that process, you started losing confidence that prayer mattered much.
Right.
You know, theoretically, you knew it did. But in terms of it being a daily place where you're hungering and thirsting and expecting and pursuing God, that began to die. It began, and that's a very common human struggle, isn't it? It's a battle for people out there. And as you were sharing this story, I was just thinking how Jesus said, you know, if you seek me, you'll find me. What's the answer when we're in a position like that? When you feel like, wow, I'm just kind of running dry, or I just don't have much motivation for this stuff anymore. Knock, seek, ask, thirst, go. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you did. You said, what caused you? I'm interested. Since you're an automatic pilot, what got you to make a commitment to go to the encounter school?
Yeah, you know, I've always, like I said, I've always loved the Lord, had a desire for the Lord. And I'd heard about some of the wonderful ministry that Encounter was doing. Mm-hmm. And actually, my friend, Matt Jenkins, is from Plymouth. He's in a men's group with me. And he had started to sort of catch some of this fire, you know, this mm-hmm. passion and just being very intrigued by the work that they were doing. And he actually invited our men's group to do it. So a number of us in the men's group, I think at least at one point it was five of us, and I think still at least three of us are still, you know, pursuing it. But basically saying, we're going to put our men's group on hold, and if you're interested, we're just going to do this ministry school instead, because we need revival. You know, it's great coming together and sharing our lives, but we felt like God wants to bring power and bring conversion and just sort of shake us up a little bit and remember who he is.
Yeah. I'm glad you put it that way, because the school starts with essentially remembering who God is.
Right.
How big he is, how beautiful, how loving, how kind, how merciful, and just to kind of soak you in that a little bit. You talked about it began with the very idea that we need renewed minds, which gives us a capacity to see, mm-hmm. really, and seeing who God is all of a sudden opens a whole horizon of what's possible and what God might want to do in our life personally, but to use us to help extend his life to others.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's what's the most powerful about the Encounter School of Ministry is we're not seeking God's power for the sake of the power. Mm-hmm. We're seeking more of him, more of his gifts, specifically to serve God's sons and daughters. And I think there's such a grace there. I had a really powerful experience. It was two Mondays ago in prayer there at the Encounter School, where God just flooded me with what I would describe as his ache for his children to know him. I started having these sort of almost like a crunches in my stomach of feeling this like gut-wrenching, like God's heart for his children and just desiring them to have salvation, to have freedom in him. And I kept repeating this phrase over and over again that I believe was from the Lord, where I said, I need more because they need more. God, I need more of your grace, more of your love, more of your power, more of your gifts, not so that I can be, you know, one of the cool, holy people, right? But so that I can have something to give.
Yeah.
You know, when I encounter your lost children, people that are far from you, I don't have the words to speak and just the power that they need to come closer to you. And there was this ache for God, fill me up so that I have something to give. And it was just, I still am sort of riding that wave right now of just entering into the ache of God, that he wants to love and save his children more than I do.
Yeah. As you're describing it so beautifully, Sean, I think about Jesus from the cross saying, I thirst, you know, and he's mm-hmm. looking, he's thirsting for what? He's thirsting for his father's children to be brought back to the Father, you know, and he thirsts to bring us to salvation. And he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is really what the Encounter School is helping people open themselves up to more, is the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, who St. Paul describes in Romans chapter 5, that God pours his love into our hearts, right? So we can see the reality of God's love. I heard this phrase the other day, that God loves us the way God loves God. What mm-hmm. does that mean? God loves us the way God loves God, because what we're being drawn into is the love between the Father and the Son, which is absolutely intense. It's the explosive source of everything that is good, with the whole glorious universe that we inhabit, and every single human being. And human beings, we were actually made for the purpose of entering into that love. And when you start thinking about that, you realize how deep the fall is, and how deep the devil's strategy is, and how dark our minds actually are, because we don't even see it. And if we do sort of theoretically, we don't internalize it like, yeah, God is a tsunami of love. He's radically, passionately committed to loving me. He is love itself. It's not like he turns it on and turns it off. It's constant toward us. And when our hearts just open to that reality, just a crack, just a little bit, it's overwhelming, really. That's kind of what you're describing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, God really showed up in a powerful way. And I think it's for the simple reason that I asked him to. But it wasn't just, you know, an intellectual asking. It was aching for him. Hmm. And I just love this, like you said, this whole interplay of Jesus saying, I thirst from the cross, saying, I thirst for you. I thirst for my sons and daughters. It was so central to, you know, the ministry of Mother Teresa and just so powerful for her. But first God says to us, I ache for you. And then when we experience that, he aches for me, he loves me, then all of a sudden he turns the table and he draws us into his ache. Yeah. So that we can be his hands and his feet and his words spoken in this world. And it's so beautiful that we don't have to do ministry with our own power. It is so wonderful that there is more, and he wants to pour himself and his love and his gifts into us so that we can bring his children back to him.
Yeah, the words of Jesus from John's gospel kind of echo in my mind where he says, abide in my love. So abide in this reality that I'm showing you. This is real. I love you day and night. I'm with you always. Even in your struggles, I'm with you. I'll never abandon you. And my disposition toward you always is radical, unconditional, merciful, forgiving, tender love. That's who I am. That's my nature. That's how I see you, and I want to pour that love into you and into your life. And I think Jesus said, so that's the reality, abide in it. What does abiding mean? It means live in it. If you abide in it, he says, you will bear fruit, right? And this is what you're talking about. We're all called to be fruit bearers. In fact, when we meet the Lord, or when he comes again, he's going to check out the fruit. Mm-hmm. He's going to help us see the fruit. And what that will reveal is, did you put the first thing first? Did you abide in me? Because if you abide in my love, you will bear fruit, he said, right?
And I love the way Father Matthias Thelen said it in one of the talks, is that communication with God in prayer fosters a relationship with God that roots us in our identity, that overflows into mission. And so often, I feel like we get it backwards. The first step is, okay, what do we got to do? What do we got to do to bring people to God? We start with the plans, right? Instead of rooting ourselves deeply in prayer and identity. And when God fills us with that love and that true identity of you are my son and daughter, you know, regardless of what you do for me, you're mine. You know, I love you. And just letting that overflow and really compel us towards mission rather than just trying to will mission to happen. And sometimes, as I said before, defining ourselves by what we do in ministry instead of defining ourselves by our fidelity to God and who we are in him.
Living in the love of God, which is the great battle. And you know, it's the great commandment. And it's great not because it's the one God is just most determined for us, but it's the greatest thing. It's the greatest gift. And he commands us to do it because he wants us to live and experience and know his radical love, because it's the key to everything flowing out of us. When we're secure in God's love, we can rest in the Lord, and then he can say even things like, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we say, well, that's not how I experience life at all, right? But that's the key, is living in that. And prayer is the place where we sit with the Lord, we gaze on him, we offer our heart to him, right? And so, Sean, can you be with us another day? The time continues to fly very quickly. So good. Friends, God's love for you is a tsunami, and he wants to stir in you the desire for him. And so respond to that love and watch what he does. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.